Lord, we're just so thankful that you brought us here together. First and foremost, Lord, we're thankful that you've rescued us out of the dark and exposed us to your illumination, to your light, to your truth, to your ways. Lord Jesus, there's so much that we have to be thankful for. And now as we assemble together, Lord, we just pray that you speak to us, Lord, that you give us the ears to hear and help us to be able to apply your words of wisdom, of knowledge and understanding to our lives. For we know that knowledge and wisdom are to be sought after like precious metals. But they're no good without the understanding, Lord, when we apply them to our lives to benefit and to glorify you. So right now, Lord, we just pray for the indwelling of your Spirit to come alongside us and to witness and to get with our spirits, Lord, and help us to be able to apply your words to our lives for your glory and for your name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Excuse me one second. Let's see how Rick does this. Okay, and with that, subtitle, verses 10. I guess we'll do it in the format of the inductive Bible study, and we'll just go at a little quicker pace. Subtitle, Put on the Armor of God. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girdled your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, and all the perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. That's Paul's prayer. And after he has given this in conclusion to the Ephesian church there, you know. So obviously, we know just by our own experiences that spiritual warfare was prevalent back then. Probably more so, as we know from Pastor Rick and what he's been sharing in 1 Peter, that time that in the places they were in history, that let's face it, praise God, we weren't born then, you know, because I don't know about you guys, but I know when I listen to Rick and he talks about those guys and I think about being fed to the lions and to the wolves and being crucified and being beheaded and being all these things that they talk about, I think, holy cow, thank you, Jesus, that I didn't have to go on over that, through that, because I don't know if my faith would have held up. I mean, let's be honest. You know, we can all say, oh, yeah, you know, I got full of faith. I could do that. But, I mean, we all know from our experiences that until you're really at that door, until you're really confronted with that issue, or like anything else, it's just a word. You're, well, yeah, I know I can go through that. But in the reality of it is, we will never know. And I hope and pray that I'll never be confronted with something like that, because still, in spite of all of these things that God has taught me and all of these things that God has showed me throughout my Christian life, I cannot honestly sit here and say that my strength and my faith, you know, would be strong enough to endure something like that. You know, I guess it's sort of like testing procedures that we go through, and sometimes God questions, or people question us in our walk. And so that's why I believe the Holy Spirit led me to these 10 verses in the Bible, because let's face it, we have the mentality here on, you know, where we live here in Mesquite in America in 2007 that, you know, praise God. We go around and everything is good, you know. Occasionally we have problems with these things of the world, right? Illnesses. We have family members that succumb to these things. We have these certain things that affect us on a daily basis. And saying that much, well, anybody who has ever lived has been confronted with issues not any different from ours, you know, our daily lives, whether it's a boss at work, for those of us that work, or whether it's Joe, the guy that's hassling you because you want to chip and putt on this green because you're retired, and all of a sudden he's deemed the fact that you don't deserve to be there. You know, the point I'm trying to make is that as the Word tells us, in our daily lives, set aside from our spiritual walk with Christ, we come up against things on it every day. If we get out of bed, it's like Joyce Myers, you know, she says, well, I have victory every day. I get out, every day I praise God and I do all these things, and then I get out of bed, you know. Until we get out of bed, life is great, you know. All we got to do is hear the kids, and if we have kids or the grandkids or whatever. And what is that? Who doesn't go through that? So let's break it down a little bit, because we're on sort of a time thing, because this is a twofold kind of message, so I don't have a whole lot of time. But we're going to, the last part of this, verse 18 through 20, is about the boldness of prayer. And I can't hit enough or talk enough about the power of prayer. I think we've seen it in the body, you know, those of us who are on the prayer chain. And I encourage you, if you're not on the prayer chain, to if you want to see the power in prayer in your life and the results, to get on the prayer chain, because when you're there, you're in the game, so to speak. And you'll often hear me refer to, you know, like it says in the Word, and like you'll hear Rick, that it's all about being in the game, you know. I mean, referring back to that world and those people that are out there professing to be Christians, or, yeah, I'm a Christian because I live in America. I live in Mesquite, Nevada. I don't live in Las Vegas. There are a bunch of sinners in Las Vegas. Well, we live in the sister city. We, you know, I mean, but it's just assumed, right, that if you live in America and dwell in this country that's been blessed by God, because I, to tell you the truth, I've never really lived anyplace else. I've been to Mexico, I've been to Canada, you know, I've never been to Europe, I've never been down under, you know, so I can't say, I'm sure a lot of you folks have been a lot of different places, but for me, I don't think I'd rather live anyplace else. I mean, people, you know, want to complain and they want to whine and they want to moan about how bad we got it. Well, gee, I paid $3.40 a gallon for gas. You know, yeah, it's a ripoff. It's a scam. They got us. Let's face it. You know, what, is it a coincidence that gas, why? Gee, always goes up around April, you know, when people, what, want to drive and go on vacations. You know, I mean, our government or the oil barons or whomever, they must really think they were stupid, because we haven't figured this out yet. But, you know, they still say, well, it doesn't really matter. And the basic bottom line is supply and demand, right? We got to have it. What are we going to do? What's the alternative? Are we going to walk to Montana to see our loved ones? Well, I don't know about you, but I'm not walking, you know. So, but with that, the armor is vitally important. And I just, a show of hands, and this is the participation aspect of the study. Today, in our devotion, if we had devotion, this morning when we got out of bed, or before we got out of bed, when we started our day as Christian, what are we called to be? What is this all referring to? You know, soldiers, right? Soldiers, because we're talking about warfare, right? So the analogy the Lord uses here is what? A soldier. He's in battle, right? How many, by the show of hands, this morning when they got out of bed or when they were getting out of bed, put on their armor? Excuse me. Oh. By the show of hands, how many put on their armor? I could put mine down. Okay, maybe like 5%, maybe. And that's good, praise God. I was hoping somebody was going to raise their hand because I couldn't. But obviously, you guys know what it's like to be in the fight and to be in the battle. The rest of us that didn't put our hands up, guess what? It's like truth, whether we want to believe it or to be true or not, we're still in the battle, but we didn't equip ourselves with the armor. So guess what? We probably weren't all that victorious today in the battle. I know in my life, I haven't got to the point to where I consistently put in the armor. I mean, we can break it down, obviously, helmet of salvation. Most of these things are basically self-explanatory. You know, that's at the top, first and foremost, salvation, right? I mean, we're able to put this armor on, or we're conscious about putting the armor on. Man, this thing's powerful. I really don't need it. But it all starts with our salvation, right? The helmet of salvation. It protects our head, you know, and our head is what? The mind, right? And we always hear about, you know, in throughout God's word about the battlefield and how we're supposed to surrender and be ye transformed for you ladies, right? By the renewing of our what? Our minds, right? So that starts with our minds, right? When we try to concentrate on prayer, or we try to prepare ourselves for this journey and this battle that we're on, we have to, if we don't concentrate, if we don't take the time out to, you know, not take things for granted like we do in the world, like, you know, when we get behind our car, you know, behind the wheel of our car, and we do these things. There's so many things we take for granted. But the reality of it is we don't ever know if this is going to be the last time we ever do this, you know, because I'm sure there's people in here that have lost loved ones in car accidents. That's exactly what there are. They're accidents. And I don't think anybody who's been in a car wreck, of course, and I can't service people that have been killed in them, obviously, but ever thought that when they got behind that wheel for that specific time that, you know, they were going to be in an accident. That's why they call them accidents. We don't know. But there's nothing accidental about our walk with Christ, or at least there shouldn't be. You know, a lot of times there is, and we get in those problems when we start taking those things for granted, and when we don't realize that this is a battle that we're in. You know, I mean, it's not something that we like to dwell on. It's not something that we like to think about, you know, because obviously you don't hear many pastors from the pulpit, you know, give sermons on these gloom and doom type of things. You don't hear too many pastors and preachers up here saying, you know what, you people, because they're not popular, right? They don't want to hear that. But the reality of it is every day God tells us in His Word, every day, what does He say? Sometimes, occasionally, we're supposed to do these things. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. So that right there tells us that, guess what? It's not what you got. You can't do it, because we know that, first and foremost, the flesh and the spirit obviously have nothing in common. And if we try to fight the spiritual battles with this knowledge or this understanding, and even if we apply it to wisdom, if we try to fight this battle with what we know, guess what? Are we going to be victorious? loser, absolutely. Absolutely, because he tells us right there in verse 10. And it says, put on what part of the armor? Does he say put on the helmet of salvation and leave off the breastplate of righteousness or the belt of truth or the shield? What does the shield do? It protects us, right? From all what? What does he say? The fiery darts, right? Oh, wow. Now, gee, anybody ever been hit with a fiery dart? Kenna? You want to show us your wounds? Oh, okay. We're not talking about those kind of darts. I mean, let's face it, folks. We read these things, and do they apply to our lives? You know, I mean, fiery dart? I hope I'm never hit with a fiery dart. But guess what? Guess what? I've been hit with millions of them. And guess what? My shield's been down. And guess what? I've been taking a pound. Literally. I got the scars to show for it. You know? Not physically. We're not talking about physically here. You know? I mean, physically, we all have things, especially if, well, Ariel, she's young. She probably doesn't have any physical ailments, but if you pass the age of, I don't know, 35, or even before then, I'm past that myself, and everybody's in here. Okay, Travis is not, Ariel's not, this young man over here. You do? You have scars? All right. Well, see? So then you can relate. You've been injured even at your young age, physically. But you healed, right? But the scar is still there. You can remember. But now spiritually, the battle that we're in, well, at least we're supposed to be in, right? Because we're Christians, right? And the Word tells us that we do not wrestle against what? Flesh and blood. Well, okay. What do we wrestle against? Principalities? Powers against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Holy schmoly, like Rick says. Holy schmoly. Now, if we can envision that, which, well, you have to really stretch your imagination to envision that. But if we try to envision that, it's pretty scary. I know I don't want to delve into that. Because we know that, hey, when you start delving into these things, guess what? Who are you stirring up? You know? So, to conclude that aspect of the teaching is, well, we have to go there. I mean, we're there, whether we like it or not, right? It's like we were discussing, the truth is the truth, whether we believe it or not, it doesn't change the fact, right? So God tells us that we're in spiritual warfare, and our mindset and our attitudes have to be and to realize that every day, it doesn't say there's going to be vacation days. It doesn't say that you've got, you know, your lunch hour, oh, no more spiritual warfare. This is, you know, you got a safe home here, you know. It doesn't say anything about that. It says what? Every day, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The whole armor? Lord, put on the whole armor. Why do we need the whole armor? Because God tells us we need the whole armor. You know, that's everything, including verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith which enabled you to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Not maybe he's going to show some, to throw some darts at you, but if you're a Christian and you're in the game, then guess what? That's part of the arsenal. Because our enemy, that's his job, right? Spiritually speaking, he does that better, and he's more equipped, and he has more experience. He's been doing it for a long time, folks. He knows. That's why we got to put on all the armor and to rely upon God's strength. We're weak, But what does the Word tell us? To be strong in Him, right? And rely upon Him. Put on the whole armor. Because if we put on parts of it, then we're going to be infiltrated. Because the enemy knows our weaknesses, right? He knows them better than we know them. He knows exactly where to go. He knows because, trust me, He knows mine. And I succumb to Him all the time. But yet, if I put on my armor, then, guess what? It's like that good news, bad news kind of thing. The flip side of the coin is, guess what? There's victory, right? What can He do to us? Like Rick said last week, what can He do? What can man do to us spiritually? What can Satan do to us spiritually? He's going to mess with us. That's a given. But guess what? If we put the armor on every day, now we may walk out of here tonight and go, well, that guy, you know, I don't know. But I challenge us as a body of believers to put it on every day, or at least tomorrow. Of course, then human nature is going to set in, complacency is going to set in, and the next day it's going to be, well, okay, I'll put it on again today. And then the enemy goes, guess what? You don't have to put it on today. It's a pain. You don't have to do it. So, by next Monday, guess what? We're not putting it on anymore. And guess what? Our effectiveness and those fiery darts are going to be getting through to us, you know. And the bottom line is, we serve a God that is worthy of our best, right? We serve a God, like we've been saying, like Kenny and Edie were up here singing, your spirit, it adheres to God's spirit. It's that music soothes the savage beast, right? When we get in touch with our spirits and our spirits are in touch with God and the music starts to flow, God's ears and God's, He's delighted beyond comprehension. You know, you sit back and you think, well, who created rhythm and rhyme and lyrics and music and all that? Who created that? God did. For what? For us? Yeah, we have enjoyment out of it. But more importantly, to praise Him. And He is so blessed when His children get together and doesn't matter where you sing good or you sing bad or you sing loud, in my case, and you know, you want to try to sing on key and stuff, but you know, God don't care. God just hears us and sees us for who we are. You know, if we can just rally around Him, put on our armor, and see ourselves the way that He sees us, His creation, the way that He loves us, in spite of all these things that we have going on and around us in the world, right? We're going to have, what is Proverbs, the 27th chapter, the first verse says, why are you going to worry about tomorrow? You got no guarantee you're going to have tomorrow. So you're going to worry about it? Well, guess what? You're wasting your time. You could be doing something more effective. Because if you're worrying about tomorrow, you haven't got your armor on. You know? Tomorrow's got enough of its problems. Worry about today. Praise me today. Put your armor on today. And every day, the victory's already there. Right? Like Rick was telling us. Get behind the comprehension of, we're already in the kingdom. You know? Progressive sanctification. We've been set apart, but we got to work toward what we already have. You know, that's what it's all about. The victory has already been won. Jesus has overcome. So for us, it's easy. As long as it's not going to be easy if we get in the game. If we put on our armor, we're going to be under attack because we know that. So now we just have to have that mindset that as long as the day is long, as we call today today, and we're Christians, we're going to have to fight for what's right and the truth. And the truth is, the enemy is not going to let us. He doesn't want us to be victorious, but guess what? He's powerless when we put on that armor and we rely upon the Holy Spirit. And those last three verses, and this is what we have to do now, so I have to end prayer. Like I said before and earlier, there's so much power in prayer because obviously that's the way we communicate with our Heavenly Father, and our Savior is sitting by His side. And He's what? He's a mediator. He goes to Him because that's what He does. So, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, Paul, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of the gospel, the good news, the victory has been won, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Boldly, because why? Because we serve a God who deserves nothing less. Right? We serve a God who deserves our best. And our best is in Him. When we put on the armor and when we pray. In other verses, in Luke 18:1 and in Philippians 1:4, about praying without ceasing, constantly praying. Of course, obviously, we can't relate to that because we have distractions and stuff. And we have this flesh that's battling against us and keeping us from praying. But the point is, pray. And with that, I just want to read this one thing about the tolerance of a man. It says, a man will tolerate almost anything better than they will tolerate the gospel. Huh? Tolerate almost anything better than they'll tolerate the gospel. No other subject stirs such emotion, arouses such hostility and suspicion, and provokes such persecution. Now, why is that? Why is that? The gospel, the good news. You know, we think, well, gee, as Christians, that's good news. Why is that statement true? Because of the enemy, because of the world, because of the world that we live in right here as we go outside those doors. Mesquite's a wonderful place. Praise God He's put us here. Getting back to that specifically for all of us here. When Marie called me at 4 o'clock this morning or this afternoon, Terry, you got something? We're all sick. I thought, well, no, I don't, but the Holy Spirit does, you know. And if Marie would have called Shaylee, Shaylee, you got something for us tonight? Guess what? Shaylee would have been up here. Or Rob. Or anybody, you know, if we rely upon the Holy Spirit. You know, God wants our availability. He doesn't want our ability. He just wants us to get in the game, to be active. He'll use us over and over and over and over again. So I encourage us as a body of believers to get in the game and to pray. And with that, and it's a coordination, see, because I have a spouse, a loving spouse who is beautiful. And I asked her, I said, what do you think we should share tonight? And the Holy Spirit works in her just as He works in me, just as He works in everybody, right? Ariel and Claudia are going to pass out. A lot of times we get the, well, you know, I don't really know how to pray. Of course, praying is it's like any spiritual concept, tithing or whatever, you know. I mean, it's something that is personal, and it's between you and God. But a lot of times we hear that, gee, praying is something that I'm not really good at, you know. I mean, it's sort of like parenting, right? How much experience do we get in parenting until that little bambino shows up? Unless you take some classes, which unfortunately I didn't. But when it comes to prayer, and that's what we're going to do here for the last 10 or 15 minutes, or however long the Spirit wants us to pray, we're going to lift up this upcoming trip to Belize, because obviously the warfare is present. Rick's homesick. Marie's sick. Ariel's not sick. Hopefully, praise God, she won't get sick. But there's been some disappointment with trying to coordinate what we're going to do down there. But the bottom line is, we're going down there, and God's going to bless that time, and He's going to use it for His glory. And no matter what happens, it's our responsibility as the body to continue to pray and lift this trip up and these people, Juan and Karen and Ariel and Rick and Marie, because God has something in store for each and every one of those people that are going and for everybody that are going to come in contact with down there. So with that, obviously, it's pretty self-explanatory. It's the old acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S, if you have trouble. I mean, this is just, obviously, this is just the tool. This is just the guideline. A, adoration. C, confession. T, thanksgiving. And C, supplication. I mean, I'm sorry, S, ACTS, already said C. Thank you. And obviously, we're not saying you got to pray this way. You know, prayer is a special, intimate part with your Heavenly Father, with your relationship. But this is a tool, and, you know, I've tried this in my prayer life, and I've seen results. Because, after all, and I suppose you don't have to necessarily do them in that order, but the most important thing, it reminds you, and it helps me, I remember, to what? Stay focused. See, because who in here, by a show of hands in a survey, has been praying and all of a sudden these weird thoughts come into your mind and these distractions? By a show of hands, all of a sudden you think, well, where did that come from? Holy schmoly. Well, guess where it came from? You know? There you go. There you go. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you think, well, God, what's happening here? I'm in a prayer and petition with you, and all of a sudden my mind is starting to think, oh, Lord, Lord. So the basic thing this does is it helps you to stay focused and to concentrate, because our minds do wander. The enemy has influence. So with that in mind, now, I'll start off in prayer, and then if you feel the Spirit leads you to pray, you know, if you want to pray out loud, God bless you. If you want to pray solemnly in your spirit, God bless you. And then we'll just leave it open. And then when there's more than a pause, then for like a minute or two, I guess we'll close on that. So specifically, not only tonight, but probably, well, let's see, they leave on the 18th, so at least to the 25th, a week. 1 week, the 25th is Monday, from Monday to Monday, right? So, Monday, isn't it? Oh, okay. Well, however long, let's say the 25th, right? 24th. Well, we could pray three more days, and it's my birthday. I had to get that in. My wife would say, what do you bring that up for? Lord willing, I'll have another birthday. If not, I'll be up there at home. You guys will be down here, and you'll all be jealous. But at least until the 25th, let's take some time out to pray for Ariel and Rick and Marie and Karen and Juan and their trip and their safe journey, and for the Lord to use them in a mightily way so that their time down there will be blessed. So with that, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for your Spirit, Lord, for giving us part of you that dwells within us, Lord. It's beyond our comprehension to really be able to effectively do all these things that we're called to do, Lord. So we just come with humble hearts, Lord, in submission unto you, Father, and we thank you for rescuing us. For once we were in the darkness, Lord, but because of your will, because of your Spirit, because of our Lord and Savior's shed blood on Calvary's cross, we have been rescued from that darkness, Lord. Oh, if we put our minds around that, we really cannot fathom that, but we just come now and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving us, for your shed blood. And now, Father, we come to you and we pray. Jeez. that we would just continue to stay focused on you, Lord. That we would surrender our lives, that we would surrender our time, that we would surrender our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our lives, Lord. That we would be dedicated to endure and persevere and overcome. You give us the wisdom, Lord, or you give us, the understanding, Lord, and you give us the knowledge, Lord. And we just pray that you would help us to be able to apply it and turn it into wisdom so that we may effectively serve and honor and glorify you each and every day of our lives, Lord. Help us to be mindful of your armor, Lord. Help us to put it on today, tomorrow, and all the days of our lives. If we go away from this message with anything, Lord, it's that our dependence is on you, Lord, and on your armor. For we are truly sinners, Lord. We miss the mark and we fall short on a daily basis. But because of what you supplied for us in our lives, we can be victorious as long as we stay focused and we stay in the Word and we do the things that help us to glorify you. For that is truly our heart's desire, and our spiritual worship is to glorify you today, tomorrow, and forever. We can never repay, and you don't expect that, Lord. You just expect from us to be obedient. So help us, Lord, to be obedient to your word, Lord, in our lives, in our marriages, and in our walk, today, tomorrow, and forever. And I just pray for Rick and Marie's health right now, for all the Jacksons, and for all those people that couldn't be here tonight, Lord. I just pray that you would strengthen them, Lord, that you would give them back to a good health so that they wouldn't be distracted. I pray for Ariel, and I pray for Juan as he is battling the laryngitis. Obviously, the spiritual warfare Juan is involved in is active. So we just come against that spiritual warfare tonight and those principalities and those rulers in the dark and evil places, Lord, that ward up and, as your word says, come against us, Lord. We bind them up in Jesus' name. And we just pray that you would watch over and protect Juan and Karen and Rick and Marie and Ariel and allow them to arrive safely, that you would put their hedge around them, that you would just bless their time down there, that you would protect them, that you would expose them, and that you would give them your truth and your life as they encounter the people of Belize, Lord. The ones that you love down there. They're going down there for a reason, Lord. So we just pray in Jesus' name that you would bless their time. And we just pray that you would help us to be faithful and to pray to you all this time that they're there, Lord. Because there is power in prayer. And you hear the prayers of the righteous, Lord. And we are only righteous and we can only boast in you, Lord Jesus. Not in us, but in you, Lord. So I just pray that you continue to move in their lives, that you help us to go away from this time with a renewed heart, mind, and soul and spirit, Lord, and to put on this armor, Lord, to equip us to do battle. Because whether we want to believe it or not, as your word tells us, we're in a battle. So help us today, Lord. We humble our hearts and we come to you, dependent upon your spirit, Lord.